So tonight we're going to start off talking about cookies. Oh, yeah. Amen? All right. Who likes cookies? If you like cookies, raise your hand. Let's be honest. Everybody likes cookies. We can talk about cookies and relate. All right. So we're going to talk about cookies. I'm not talking about the cookies that you go, okay, I've done this before, so I'll just tell you what I've done before. Like, it's last minute, there's an event going on or something, like, oh, we need to get cookies. So I run to Stater Brothers or something like that and get, like, you go to the bakery section and they have them pre-boxed and pre-packaged. And it's like, you know, 99 cents for a little box or $2 for a box of chocolate chip cookies. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody seen those before? We're not talking about those kinds of cookies. We're going to talk about homemade cookies. I'm talking about the cookies that you have to go down to, like, aisle 7, get the box, take it home, and actually mix it up and make them. Those are homemade cookies for me. You have to make them at home, you know. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So you get the box, you take it home, you know, I read the back every time because I don't remember how it goes. And, you know, I pour the powder and all the stuff in there, and then you have to add, like, two or three things, like some butter, some eggs, and milk or water, maybe? Oil. I don't know. See, what do I know? I don't make these cookies very often. So you add a couple ingredients. You mix them all together. Then you throw them in a pan and bake them, right, for like 10 minutes or something. 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. Check the box. And it depends on your oven and your elevation, just so you know. But the key thing about that is you have to take the box home and you have to add a couple ingredients, right? They're called ingredients, the eggs, the butter, the oil, whatever. Those are called ingredients. If you take the box home and you add all of the ingredients except for one, you mix it all together, you throw it in the pan, you bake it for 10, 15 minutes, see the box, and you pull them out or whatever, they might look like cookies. They might even kind of smell like cookies, feel like cookies. But when you take a bite, you're like, that is not what I was expecting. That is not a cookie that I want. Does anybody know what I'm saying? Has anybody made that mistake before? I know I have. I've done, I think, baking soda instead of flour or something. Some weird thing. They're both white powders, and it's not good. It's not good if you mix them up. So anyways, the point is that if you don't get all the ingredients together, if you don't put all of them together, you won't get what you were expecting. You won't get the desired result, the thing that you were hoping for. You know, you can have eggs by themselves. You know, they're good. Eggs are good. They're good for you. You can eat eggs. You should eat eggs. They're good for breakfast. You could have butter. Butter is good on everything, man. Butter makes vegetables good. If you want to eat vegetables, you put butter and salt on it. You know what I mean? Now you can eat vegetables. So butter's good. Butter goes on everything. You can, you can have all these other ingredients, and they're good in their own right. But when you put them together, they magically form this thing called a cookie. And they're like, if you've had a good cookie, you know what I'm talking about. So you experience something that is way better than just the individual ingredients by themselves. So if you miss one thing, it's not the same. You're not going to get the result you're looking for. Or maybe, for example, does anybody know what IKEA is? IKEA, you can buy anything at IKEA as long as you know you're going to have to put it together. So you go to, let's say we go to IKEA, I need a desk. I want a nice, you know, I want to get a desk that I can work from and study from, do my homework, all that type of stuff. So you go to IKEA, you pick out your desk. You bring this big box home and you have to put it all together. If you put it all together, but there's one leg missing, for example, there's one leg missing, you're going to have a desk that's lopsided, right? Like you go home, you go to put something on it, it tilts, right? Like you go to write and it tilts, you set something on it, it tilts one way, then you try to balance it out over here, but then you put too much over here and it doesn't work, right? You have an expectation of how a desk should work, and if it's missing a leg, it will not work. Example. My senior year, I went to Valley College, to take my ACTs. And, so we get there, there's a bunch of kids, you know, it's a bunch of kids your age, all your peers, you know, and you want to be cool, you know, like, hey, what's up, whatever, you know, you're just doing your thing. Like, yeah, you know, you want to be cool when you go and you don't know these people. if we're honest, I did. I wanted to be cool. So, anyways, the way it worked was everybody kind of had to go in a single file line, and the lady at the front of the class would say, okay, what is your name? Okay, you need to go into aisle 3 and then seat 6 or whatever. And the way the classroom was set up was all the rows went from the front of the class to the back. You couldn't go across horizontally. And so I was like at the beginning, so I go up, okay, Michael Espinosa, okay, you're going to be, you know, 3 rows over and then 6 seats back. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And so I go around, and I have the expectation that these things are desks. They look like desks. It has a flat thing on top and a chair. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to walk all the way back, all the way around. I'll just sit on the desk part and swing my legs over, you know, like, and just hop over a row, make it quicker. So it's not a desk with all the legs, man. So I'm like, okay, cool. I go and I'm just all, and the whole desk, the whole row shot back. The desk flew out. I went flat on my back. And I was like, bam! I was like, oh, dear God, what just happened? I'm like, I get up. I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, fix the desk. I'm like, jeez. You know, the desk did not produce the results I was hoping for when that happened. It ended up being really embarrassing. And it affected my scores. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, the point is, if you're missing an ingredient, if you're missing a part, the results won't be what you're expecting. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. If with us and our relationship with God, we're missing a key part that God expects from us, a key part that God wants us to be involved in taking action and doing, if we're missing one of those ingredients, we aren't going to have the results that we're looking for. And what happens, you end up frustrated or embarrassed or, you know, whatever the case may be, because, man, my relationship with God, it's supposed to be like this. They said this, but it's not happening. You know, I tried to do this, but because you were missing a key ingredient, you didn't get the results that you were hoping for. You didn't get the expected results. So we're going to look at 3 key ingredients that God showed me for us as young adults that are going to help us to get the results that God desires for us and the results that we are desiring for also. Sound good? All right. Number one is we have to maintain. Maintain. What is maintain? Why do we have to maintain? Maintain, it's straightforward. What you don't maintain won't last. Right? If you don't maintain, let's look at a couple quick examples. You don't maintain your car, you don't get the oil change, you don't do that kind of stuff, it will eventually, the engine will seize up and die, and it will not run anymore. If you don't maintain it, it will not last. If you don't brush your teeth, floss, go to the dentist, guess what? Your teeth are going to get messed up, and they will fall out, and it will be painful, and it will not be good. If you don't maintain that, you will not get the results that you're hoping for. Your teeth won't last. They will fall out, or they'll take them out. One other quick example is if as young adults, we might be like, oh, you know, going to the gym, dieting, you know, eating right, pumping the iron, you know, you get up every morning, do your 100 push-ups, look in the mirror, you know, take a shower, you know, check again in the mirror, then you're like, you're feeling all good. But if you don't maintain that cycle, A, first of all, just because you're getting older, and B, if you don't maintain that cycle of working out and eating right, you will not keep that physique. It will change. It will change, and it will not last. It will start to morph and look different, and it won't. I can attest to that. Anyways, okay, so here's the thing. We have to maintain our relationship with God. We have to maintain our relationship with God. But here's the problem with maintaining. Here's the problem with maintenance. Maintenance is incredibly inconvenient. Can I get an amen? It is so... How many people enjoy leaving work so they can go to the dentist, give them money, and then sit in a chair, laying back, sitting up a little bit with your mouth wide open awkwardly? Is that convenient for anybody? If you enjoy that, there is something wrong with you. There's, you know, a few screws loose. It's not convenient to do that. It's not convenient. I don't ever think, you know what I want to do right now? I want to just get up and I want to drive down to Jiffy Lube and give them $30 and have them change the oil and tell me I need to change 5 other things and you're at this many miles, you're going to need to change this. And of course, we're going to check your air filter and your transmission fluid and, you know, and all this other kind of, is it ever convenient to do that? It's not. If we're honest, it's not. And that's how it goes. Well, just the convenience mentality is so, we are so caught up in the convenience mentality in our generation with our, the people our age, we are caught up in convenience. I'm a computer person, so I will try to automate as much as I can. If I don't have to think about it and do it, I'll try to make a computer do it for me. Like, and I think that's awesome. You know, like, I'll take pride in that. I'm like, yeah, cool. I made it do it automatically, you know, or whatever. But it's the same. I mean, if you think about it, you go to Jack in the Box and they have like the little Visa machine things right in front, you know, like you order your food. They're like, okay. And like, you're supposed to be able to just like wave your Visa card in front of it or something. How ridiculous is that? Like, we're so lazy, we can't even swipe it anymore. We can't even be like, here you go, swipe it. We're like, no, just, you know, like, that's how convenient oriented and how the mindset of convenience that we have. It can be ridiculous sometimes. It really can. I mean, we do it with online bill paying online, automatic deductions. We try to set these things up so we don't have to think about them. Why? Because they're inconvenient. You don't want to have to think about, oh, what day of the month is it? Do I need to pay this bill? If you can do it and your money is set up in a way, you set it up so it just happens. And you know, that's how we have been trained to think. That's not a bad thing, but the problem is that doesn't apply and that doesn't cross over to our relationship with God. Let's look at a verse real fast. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. It's going to be a very familiar verse to everybody, but it goes along with the point, so we're going to read it anyways. And you can turn your Bibles there. Like the sound of pages turning feels like church. You know what I'm saying? All right, Matthew chapter 6. My voice totally squeaked right now. That was embarrassing. Okay, can I sip the water? It was not as embarrassing as the desk thing, though. I promise you that. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We've all heard that verse. We all know, you know, what that is part of. Bless you, Antonio. But the point is that it says, give us this day our daily bread. So the point is that it's got to be a daily thing. And, you know, this isn't news. This is preaching to the choir, like, oh, we have Christians that they just come on church days and that's when they, you know, really come and have any sort of relationship with God or get into their word at all. But the Bible makes it so, so clear that we have to do this every day. And that today I can get my daily bread, and that tomorrow I need it again, and the next day I need it again, and the next day I need it again, and the next day I need it again. Why? Because if you don't maintain your relationship with God, if you don't maintain that need of getting His bread and what He has for you daily, it's going to stop working. Well, if my prayers don't seem to be getting answered, I don't know what's wrong, or, you know, the doors just aren't opening up anymore. You know, God said He was going to do this. God said He was going to, you know, get me a job, but the doors aren't opening. You know, these things start to happen. Why? Because we aren't maintaining. We aren't maintaining our relationship with God, saying, God, you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about maintenance. Here's the thing about maintaining and convenience and putting it all together. You as a person, the sum of who you are, kind of the character traits are, everything that you are put together is your character. The sum of who you are is your character. And where does our character come from? Who I am, where does that come from? That comes from everyday decisions. It comes from daily decisions. You don't just wake up one day and decide, today, oh, all right, you know, today I think I want to be an astronaut. It's not going to happen, dude. Like, you're going to have to make that decision over and over and over again for a lot of years. And you're going to have to put in the work that it takes to become an astronaut. So the point is that our daily decisions begin to form, and they have created who we are and given us our character. Our decisions do that. And the problem is that a lot of times, I've done it and you've done it, a lot of times we sacrifice our character for the sake of convenience. Because it's not convenient to read my Bible right now. It's not convenient to start to just pray, you know, to like, you know what, God, I need you today, I'm going to pray. I'm going to make it a priority. It's not convenient to do that. It's convenient to sleep in a little bit and be like, oh, okay, I got 5 minutes left. You know, you hop in the shower, you do your thing, out the door, gone, boom. Whew, right on, you know, I got my extra sleep. That's what I'm talking about. It's not convenient to wake up early in the morning to seek God. At night, it's not convenient to, you know, like, oh, I'm not a morning person. I seek God at night. So, you know, this is, you know, you can, depending on who you are, maybe you're a morning person, maybe you're a night person. And you know, so tonight, oh, man, there's a new episode of Gilmore Girls on. Or so, you know, I don't know. Whatever. That's for the girls. Man versus Wild or something like that for me. Yeah. American Chopper. I don't know. What's manly? Don't they have like a Axeman show or something like that? That seems probably manly. I don't have cable, so, you know, I'm not good at that stuff. But anyways, the point is, it's not convenient. There's always something that will be like, oh man, oh, this isn't convenient. The new show's on right now. I really want to watch it. I've been watching the previews. I'm totally excited for it. Or last week was to be continued or whatever. You know, the point is that it's never convenient. And what we end up doing is we end up sacrificing our character, who we are, the daily decisions we make on convenience, on the altar of convenience. And it ends up that we, because we haven't maintained, now we're missing an ingredient and things aren't coming out, aren't working the way that we were hoping or desiring. One more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 31. It's Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And we're just going to focus at the end. But he says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And that is part of our maintenance. It's part of us maintaining our relationship with God. Dying daily. Dying daily to what? To ourselves, to our flesh. Okay, God, it's a new day. I need you. It's a new day. I need you today, God. You know what? Today I crucify my flesh. I'm putting my flesh, I'm crucifying it. Just like, oh man, we have had so much good teaching from the main sanctuary over the last couple of months. It's ridiculous. It's incredibly powerful. But you know, so we're crucifying our flesh. I'm going to be led by the Spirit, dying daily to ourselves, dying daily to our desires, dying daily to what we want to do, and saying, okay, God, give me your bread instead. I don't want to eat my own bread. Give me your bread. Give me your bread. And then when we die to ourselves, we get God's bread and we say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to maintain. I'm going to be back tomorrow because I need it again tomorrow. That's how we can have the first key ingredient of maintaining. And just for an example, just for some bigger, I mean, you look at, for example, Noah. God tells Noah to build an ark because it's going to rain. And like, they've never even heard of rain, like water from the sky. What the heck is that? This is crazy. It took Noah about 100 years to build the ark. So, you know, I mean, people are looking at this guy like he's crazy. What is he doing? He's saying there's going to be water falling from the sky. That's ridiculous. I've never heard of that. This guy had to have been maintaining his relationship and his walk with God daily to be able to endure that length of time and that the amount of, you know, pressure and just having to hear what other people were saying to him. He had to have been maintaining. And it's the same thing with us. We have to keep maintaining. Amen? All right. Number two, second ingredient. Second ingredient is faith. We have to be believing God for something. And I was praying about it, and it's like, I can say this because I've totally been there. A lot of the times, we just flat out aren't believing God for anything. Like, that's just the truth of it. We might say, like, we might kind of be hoping something happens. Like, oh, I kind of hope that happens. That'd be, you know, God, if you can do that, that'd be great. Praise God. Woo, that's it. Like, you left it there, like, what is that? That's not believing God and having faith for something. We have to be believing God for something. What is faith? Faith, if you look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, I'll just read it for you real fast. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, that means you have to be believing for something that you physically do not have. So we have to be believing for something. It, just a couple other verses real fast. Why? Because God asked us to. God said that if we aren't operating in faith, we can't please him. Well, I'll read the verse for you real fast. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. It's actually just a couple of verses over. It's in verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. If we aren't operating in faith, if we aren't believing God for something, we're missing out. We don't have all the ingredients together. Another verse says in James chapter 2, it says, faith without works is dead, right? What am I trying to say? I'm just trying to say we have to actually be believing God for something. I'm not talking about hoping for something or wishing for something or throwing a little prayer out. Oh, God, please, you know, if you could do that, that'd be really cool, you know, or something like, I mean, actually believing God for something. And, you know, it can be something so, so simple. For example, I drive a little 2001 commuter car. We'll just leave it at that. I don't pay a car payment, all right? Back off. No, just kidding. So I drive a little commuter car, and don't you know, it's always at the worst times. But there was a season where it just randomly would not start. Like, just, it's like, what the heck, man? Like, why are you not starting? The starter's going, is turning over. It clearly has power. Everything is supposedly working. It just won't start. So I'm sitting, you know, I'm running late. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, and like, I have my kid in the back or something, like, I don't want to be late for school. I'm like, I know, gosh, hold on. I'm trying, like, what do you want? Jeez. It won't start. And it was like this season, I'm sitting there like trying to shake it, like move the car, like moving the gas or something. I don't know. You know, like try again. And then finally, you know, finally it started after like a minute and a half of just absolute frustration and annoyance. It's like, if you've ever experienced it, it can be really, really annoying. Really, really frustrating. I have a very close relationship with it, so I can speak about it. And so anyways, it was always at the worst times or the other, you know, I'm like somewhere at the mall or something. I go drop off and there's a bunch of people coming out. I'm parked like in the front. I'm like, all right, get in my car. And like everyone's walking by like, oh, that guy's car's not starting. You're like, all right. Oh, like it's embarrassing. It is. It's like, you don't want to be that guy. I've been that guy a lot. And like, you know, you're just like, and you're like, nobody's looking. Try to shake real fast. Nobody's looking. Oh, you're like, oh gosh, it's not. I don't wish it upon anybody. But one day, I'm sitting in my car and it doesn't start. And I was like, for the love of God, please, like, why are you doing this to me? And he was like, why don't you pray? Like, I can start a car. That's not hard for me. I was like, that's not hard for you, is it? That's like totally easy. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. So I, you know, I get in. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. It's not hard for you to start this car. In Jesus' name, start. Peter starts up. I'm like, woo, yeah. You know, hey, yeah, right on. I'm like, leave, you know, and go. And you know, the crazy thing was, it ended up being a lesson for my kids too. So they get in the car. The car doesn't start. I'm like, all right, we gotta pray. You know, so you know, one of them pray and. You know, I teach them, like, faith like a child. If you believe it, it'll start. So they're like, all right, they pray. Boom, starts up. You know, like, boom, there you go. They're learning faith. You know, I'm learning faith with them. What do you know? You know, like, and so now, you know, now if they get in your car and your car doesn't start, they'll just start praying. They've been trained now. If I get in the car and it doesn't start, they're like, Morgan, she's almost forced. She's like, in Jesus' name, start the car. Amen. You know, like, boom. Like, I don't even have to say anything anymore. The point is that you can believe God for simple little things. And that's a silly example, but guess what? I really needed my car to start. You know, I wasn't asking for God to do something like 2 weeks from now. It's like, God, I need you to do something right now. You know, this is a little thing, but I need you to do it right now. And I'm going to put my faith out there and I'm going to claim it and I'm going to speak it. Boom, car starts. We all have so much opportunity in our lives to have faith for little things that happen now. You know what I mean? And we miss out. We overlook them all the time, all the time. Let me see. Let's go to one more verse. It says in John chapter 15. Let's turn there real fast. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse number 7. If you've been in shift for any length of time, your Bible should pretty much open there. Mine does. We were there for quite a while. It's a fantastic chapter. John chapter 17, verse number 7, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask and what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Let me read it one more time. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." And we can believe God for little things, and we should, and we need to. And I really believe we miss out on so much answered prayer that we could have just because we don't pray them and we don't really believe them or think it's too small for God, or our brains just don't even consider that God is interested. But guess what? God's not just interested in the small things. God's interested in big things too. Believe God for big things. You know, like where you're actually believing God. This is where I go back to, like, not just like, man, I hope that happens one day, but really believing God for something. How do you really believe for God for something big that's not going to happen right now? Go back to the maintenance. You got to do it every day. You got to be speaking that and claiming that and believing and putting your faith out for it each and every day. We have such a great opportunity this year here at this church. This year is what? The year of the shout. What is your shout? Do you have a shout? Are you believing God for a shout? If you already had one, are you believing God for a new one? I mean, this is what this year is about. He has anointed this place and he has said, this is the year of the shout. Pastor Jim didn't come up with that for like cool, fancy wording and we're going to put numbers and it's going to be cool. Like, no, God said, this is the year of the shout. This is your year of the shout. What is your shout? Think about it. Do you have a shout? Are you believing God for one? Believe God for something big. Believe God for something this year. Believe God specifically for a shout that you can say, this is going to be my shout this year. If you've already had one, find a new one. You know, be believing God for a shout. God bless you, Jamal. Lastly, when it comes to faith and believing God for something, really putting your faith out there, really believing God for something, talking about big things, don't give up on things that you once were believing for. I was praying for this to happen. I was hoping that would happen. And, you know, God told me this was going to happen, but it didn't, you know, this didn't happen. And so whatever, you just kind of gave up on it. Or, you know, don't give up on God. God does not give up on us. Don't give up on the dreams. Don't give up on the vision God has given you. Believe and continue to believe and continue to pursue and continue to maintain and daily go to God and claim the things that he's given you. Don't give up on something that you once was important to you, but now you've kind of put it on the shelf. Yeah, I really used to pursue that. I really used to pray that would happen, but it's been like 2 years and it still hasn't happened. So now, you know, like, I hope, you know, yeah, I'm still believing for it, but I don't really like pray for it. I don't really speak the word over it. It's kind of just sitting on a shelf now. What do you have sitting on your shelf? A lot of us got stuff sitting on our shelf. We probably have multiple shelves. It's probably not just one shelf. It's shelves, and we have things on them. What have you put on the shelf? Go back to God. Revisit those things. Are they still pertinent? Is it the season? God, what do you want me to do with this? And believe God for those things. Amen? All right. Third ingredient. The third ingredient tonight is change. By a raising of hands, how many people like change? The devil is a liar. You don't like change. What's wrong with you? Nobody likes change. You know, we try to get ourselves into comfortable positions so we don't have to change. You know, like, they made recliners so you can just, like, stay in one spot and not have to, like, get up to... That's what remote controls are for. And so, I mean, nobody likes change. Change is not fun. Change isn't hard. Change is uncomfortable. Nobody likes change. Change, you know? Here's the thing, though. anything that's not changing, anything that isn't evolving or moving or changing is dead. You know, so like the very essence of life is that there is change happening. Things are moving, evolving. When something stops moving, when something stops, when your organs stop moving, nothing is changing. You're dead. You've died. It's dead. That's just the way it is. And so this ingredient it's required, unfortunately. And it's required, and if we don't make the changes, we will be doing things, asking, praying for things, believing God for things, but if we aren't willing to make the change to get it, guess what? It doesn't happen. And you go back to the beginning of being frustrated. Why isn't this thing working? You know, like, I believe you said this, and all that kind of, that whole frustration and that whole, confusing when we aren't willing to make the change, we end up in a confused state. We end up in a frustrated state. And often we're like, God, why? And he'll show you, he'll tell you, but we overlook that, you know, cause it's kind of hard. Let's look at a couple of verses real fast before we dive into it too much. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we're going to be looking at verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord." And I want to focus on a certain part of that, where it says that we are being transformed into the same image. What image? God's image, from glory to glory. Let's look at one more verse real fast while we're in there. I'll just read to you real fast. John, the third chapter, verse number 30, says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So we're talking about transforming from glory to glory, and then we're talking about increasing and decreasing. Both of those things are both terms of increment. You know, like you're incrementally changing. These aren't necessarily big, huge changes. It's again, we're going back to maintenance, daily increments, increment, increment. I decrease, he increases. I'm transforming. I'm looking more and more like him each time. It's a process of change. It's a process of change. And how do we incrementally change? How do we become looking more and more like God? How do we become more and more like his image? How do we become less and him become more? That process, that incremental process, is called the process of sanctification. What does that mean? That basically just means that we are becoming and we are looking more and more like him. How do I know if I'm in that process? I don't even know if I'm in that process. Well, are you in the same position with your walk with God as you were last week, last month, last year? Are you in the same spot? You're not changing. Or you can see, well, how much am I changing? Dang, I have not changed very much. Let's be honest. It's an incremental change. It happens every day. It happens every day by making those daily decisions, by building up a new character, by making those daily decisions that we walk with God through this journey and through this process of becoming more and more like him, sanctification. Here's the problem, and we've already talked about the problem with it, is that it's really hard. Changing is really hard. It's uncomfortable, and it just takes us. It rubs us wrong. It goes against our flesh. We don't want to do it. Let me give you an example. About 6 years ago, I think, my wife and I, this is my wife, Krista, on the front row, by the way, give a little wave. we had our first child and we're about to have our second child. And so, We wanted to get a house. We wanted to buy a house. And so we thought we found this house and we're like, okay, cool. We're going to get this house. It ended up falling through at the last minute. It's this big, huge bummer. It was just a downer. it all fell apart when I went to go sign and get the keys, like last minute. So it was this huge, huge bummer, like, especially for my wife, you know, my wife being a woman, being a mom, you know, she wants a house to take care of her kids. That's just how it goes. And I understood that. And, you know, so it was a complete bummer. So it fell through and like, gosh, what are we going to do? So we're like, well, we still just need to move. We need to move. We have to go to a new place. And so we ended up, another opportunity opened up. And so it seemed good. It seemed like, oh, this could be a good thing. Cool, right on, let's do it. We didn't really pray about it or anything. Just, you know, seemed like a good idea. It looked good. Has anybody ever done that? Oh, tell me I'm not the only one who's ever done that. It seems like a good thing. Like, oh, cool, let's do it, you know. And then like, didn't pray about that. So we're coming off this really big bummer. We're coming off this really big letdown. So we move into this house. And it, after, I don't know, if I'm honest, probably like not even a month into it, I was like, looking at all the finances and it's like, you know what? Like, this just isn't going to work. Like, this is not sustainable. Just, you know, just looking at it, kind of looking long term, is like, wow, this isn't really going to work. But because we had just come off of this really big letdown, this really big bummer, you know, and my wife said, like, okay, at least we're in the house. And I'm like, oh, all right, she's happy. And I was like, you know, like, okay, I got to keep that. And so I was like, well, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm just going to try to make it happen. I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to keep doing this thing or whatever. You know, God can make a way. Woo! You know, like, God's like, I never opened that door, homie. I was like, oh. But, you know, so 3 months into it, and I was like, and God's telling me, you need to just suck it up. You need to suck it up. Suck up your pride. Tell your wife this ain't going to work, and we need to move, you know. And I don't know where we're going to go. So we need to move, but I don't know where we're going to go. So how's that for a great plan? So I was like, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I wasn't willing to change. 6 months into it. Okay, now I'm like paying bills on credit cards and stuff. Like, you know, all that kind of garbage. And it was like, why? Because I wasn't willing to change. I didn't want to disappoint. My pride was getting in the way. I didn't want to disappoint people. I didn't want to look like a fool. 6 months, so that's like 6 months, like 9 months comes. Now, all of a sudden, for those first 6 months, God's like, make a change, make a change, make a change. And I'm not making a change. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'll figure something out. Something will happen. 9 months down the road, guess what? I don't have any more options. And God doesn't have to say change, like, cause they're just, I just have to change. I can't try to make it happen anymore. You know, what happened? What happened was, I didn't make the change, man. And guess what? It cost me. It cost me a lot. It cost me a lot. When God, if I would have been obedient to his voice, if I would have prayed at the beginning, and if I would have said, you know what, even after that, you know what, I miss God on this. But I know God's telling me to change it now. I need to suck it up. And I need to make that decision. I need to make that change. Maybe, you know what, God, we're all in situations like that. Maybe, you know, you're at a point where God's told you to stop. He's told you to change. But you really haven't let go of that boyfriend or girlfriend. Or you really haven't let go of that, of the job or the money or whatever the thing is for you that God is telling you, you need to change it. You need to change it. You need to change. You need to change the way you're thinking. You need to change the way you're talking. And you, oh, I know, it's just hard, you know. And so you keep doing it. It's okay. It's okay. God's going to cover me. He never leaves me or forsakes me. You know, we can convince ourselves with scriptures. And all of a sudden, we've totally put ourselves in a really bad position because we weren't willing to make the change. And that is not what God wants for us. And I was totally victim of it's too hard. God, it's too hard. I can't do it. I can't make that change. I know you want me to do that, but I can't do it. It's just too hard. And here's the thing though. Here's the thing. We don't have to do it by ourselves. And that whole time, that whole 9 months, I was trying to figure out what change I could make, but that change I was trying to make, it was in my own strength. It was in my own thoughts, my own little plans, my own little ideas of how I can make, you know, maybe if I do this and that, or if I can make this change and then maybe that will do this. We've all done it. We've all done it. And so evaluate yourself tonight. I know God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you and showing you what change he's been telling you need to make. What change you've been dragging your feet on. What change you haven't been willing to just suck it up. Eat your pride. Be humble and say, you know what? I'm going to make this change. Why? Because God told me to. And because, you know what? I value God and I value my relationship with him more than I value my pride, what people think, you know, whatever whatever things might be coming against you, stopping you from making the change that you need to make. In James chapter 5, or James chapter 1, actually, verse 5, he talks about, Pastor Luke, I think you mentioned this a couple weeks ago or something, and whenever, you know, what I'm trying to say, well, let me read the verse real fast. Basically, he just says, if you need wisdom, ask, and God will give it. What am I trying to say? You don't have to do this alone. If you need wisdom, say, God, I need wisdom, man. I don't know how to make this change. If you need, you know, God's asking you to do something, it seems too hard. God, I don't know if I can do that. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Jesus is telling the disciples, basically, if somebody sins against you, offends you, forgive them. If they come back and repent, forgive them. If they do it again, forgive them again. If they do it again, over and over again. It says 70 times 7. So if somebody keeps just coming up and doing you wrong, but then repents for it, but then they come back and do it again, if they keep doing it, he says, forgive them. And, you know, all of our flesh, like the disciples, is like, you wronged me that many times, I'm going to knock you out, dude. Like, I'm going to get like a restraining order. Like, don't even come near me. And God doesn't say that. God says, forgive him. When God tells them this, what do the disciples say? They say, Lord, increase our faith. You're asking me to do something that I do not understand. That is beyond what I'm capable of. I cannot forgive somebody that many times. I can't step out and change and get rid of this boyfriend or girlfriend, or get rid of this TV or computer or PlayStation or Xbox or whatever it is, whatever things that you're letting hold you back from having all the ingredients meshing and working together to produce the relationship with God that he has for you. You have to be willing to make that change. Let me read one little thing I wrote down just so I don't mess it up. Don't think that you have to completely understand in order to fully obey. So, like, God will ask us to make changes all the time. We're like, God, how am I supposed to do that? Like, really? You're asking me to do something that's, come on. You know, how am I supposed to, I'm right here and you're asking me to go all the way over there. How is that supposed to happen? Come on, God, let's be real, you know? And if you look in the Word and you look at Proverbs, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that his Word is a lamp unto our feet, right? The Bible says that he orders the steps of the righteous, right? Both of those things talk about steps. It talks about steps. So God says, I need you to change. And you're over here and God's saying, I need you to be over there. And you're like, God, there is no way I could get over there. I am too far over here to ever get over there. I'm too bad. I've done too much wrong. Or this thing has too much control over me. I could never get all the way over there. And how are you going to do it? How are you going to make that change? How is that supposed to happen? It happens by, you have to trust God and you have to have faith. You have to step out in faith. And specifically use that word, step out in faith. Because God orders the steps of the righteous. And he's a lamp unto our feet. So there's little steps. You know, that's a picture of like this, right? Like you don't know exactly where you're going. You just know where the God's saying, take that step. All right. Take that step. Okay, God. That takes trust. That takes faith. It's a picture of us having to trust God, having to put our faith in God and saying, God, I don't have to understand how it's all going to work. I know that I'm over here and I know you're telling me to go over there. I don't know how I can get over there, but I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to take that step. And there's areas in each of our lives that God is asking. He's asking and saying, come on, take this step of faith. I'm right here. take your step of faith. I'll got your hand. Grab my hand. I'm going to walk with you. You're not doing this alone. Come on. You know, God is waiting for us. He has his hand stretched out towards us. All you have to do, all I have to do, is take that step of faith and trust God and then maintain it. So what, you go back. If you go back and you put all these together, you get God's daily word. You go, God, I need you today. I need your word fresh for me today. Yesterday's word was good, but today I need something new. And God's going to say, okay, here's what I got for you. And you're going to read something that's going to come alive to you. Oh, man, that's awesome. I never read it like that before. Okay, God, I see what you're saying. And God's say, okay, now I need you to believe me for that. I need you to believe me that this is going to happen. I need you to believe me that you can overcome this obstacle. I need you to believe me that you are going to be able to give like you haven't given before. Because, you know, I don't have money. God's saying, if you tithe, if you trust me, I will open the windows. Okay, God, well, I read it. You gave me that to me. Now I'm going to put my faith out there. I'm going to believe you for it. I'm actively going to believe you for it. I'm going to put my money in the offering. I'm going to put my money where you're telling me to do it. And then God says, okay, now come and make that change. The change is putting the money in. The change is putting the money in the bucket or whatever that situation might be. You know, God might be telling you're worrying way too much. You worry about everything. So you read a verse and God, you know, God says, don't worry about tomorrow. And so, okay, God, it comes alive. Man, I've never read it like that before. It means something new to me. And so now, okay, God, okay, you gave me the word. Now I'm going to believe you for it. And then you step out your door to start the day and your car doesn't start. What are you going to do? Start worrying? Oh, man, you know, maybe the starter's not working. That's like $80. I don't even know. But then I have to pay some labor to do it. You know, now you have to make that change. I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to speak life over this stinking car. It's going to start. We watch this thing. Boom. Starts. You put them all together. Now you have the ingredients to have a healthy life, a healthy relationship with God. We need all the ingredients. They have to work together. If you miss one, and if you do two but leave out one, it's not going to work right. Right? You know, okay, God, I'm going to be believing you for this, and I'm going to take a step, I'm going to make the change to do that. And God's like, that was like 3 years ago's bread, dude. Like, that's not for you anymore. That was a season, and you're still trying to go after something that God doesn't want you going after anymore. But because you aren't in there daily, you don't even know what God's trying to tell you today. All you know is what God told you 5 years ago or whatever. You have to have all three pieces working together to operate and to fulfill and walk in the relationship that God has for you and that God has for me. Amen? All right, if you got something from the Lord, give him a praise.